If I were to ask you, what does it mean to live a good life? What is a good living? For some, good living is looking good. One of a sign of growing up is a concern about our looks. We want to look good. And we want our body, our hair, our skin to look good. No wonder cosmetic surgery is taking off and making big bucks. Looking good seems to be the game, and looking good at any cost. There was a one commercial that goes something like this. Find your life that has been lost because of your unwanted weight. Almost felt like talking about me. Let us help you find new you. Experience the good life you've been missing. Well, I guess looking good, you're going to find a new good living. We're consumed in looking good. But beauty is in the eye of beholder. It depends on who is looking at you. In some cultures, being overweight is a beauty. In other cultures, being anorexic, it seems to be the game. It's in the eye of beholder. As long as I look good to my wife's eyes, that's good enough for me. For some, people say that it's good life when they want to live their life feeling good. Not only looking, but feeling. We're trying to make ourselves feel good through many means. We go to restaurants where they serve good food. We go on vacations, spots that are impressive. And we get into relationships in order to better our lives. In order to feel good, we're willing to do anything and everything. And some people get into a bad habit in order to feel good. And other people, they say it's good life when they are having goods that they want. Having all the things in the world, the latest gadget and the greatest gadgets, and all these things seems to fulfill and satisfy a person temporarily, but it doesn't last too long. So that means that you have to acquire new things. And there's an amazing culture of garage sale in the United States. And I realized garage sales is you accrue things that you don't really need and you put them in garage and then you make a sale in order to buy more stuff that you don't really need so that you can have another garage sale a few years down the road. Looking good, feeling good, having the goods may provide temporary pleasure, but they're not going to give you a permanent joy and fulfillment. Then what is good life? Well, God describes good life as God's presence in our lives. If you look in the Bible, the word good and goodness comes out 619 times. Isn't it amazing? There's people actually counting these words, good and goodness of God, throughout the Bible. God has a lot to say about what is good and what is goodness. And what is goodness? Goodness is doing good things that we are made to do. Well, God created each one of us with a purpose. None of us exists here on earth without purpose. We all have a purpose. This pulpit was made with a purpose to be put in this place and for me to stand here and deliver the message. The chairs that you're sitting on were made for a purpose so that you can sit down on a chair, not on the floor. And there's a cushion on the chair for a purpose. Everything that were created for a purpose. When God created heavens and the earth, God said, good. This creation is good. Let there be light. Oh, good. Let there be trees and animals. Oh, good. Then created you and I, human beings. And God said, very good. This is my best creation. And God was truly impressed. And when God said, we are great, good creation, very good creation, there is a clear purpose for each one of us why we were created. Suppose a carpenter is making a chair, and when he finishes making the chair, he steps back and says, wow, this is good chair. And that chair has a purpose for being made. And that chair is worthy to be called good if it meets the purpose and the intention of the creator. You and I were created by God with a purpose, and there's a great intention, and that intention is for us to do good, for us to live a good life. And I'm going to share with you what that means. Otherwise, good living in this world is learning about the fulfilling God's purpose Likewise, God's living in this world is learning about fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. Bible says God created each one of us so that we must bear the fruit of goodness. How God uses you and I is different. God created me with the purpose of, I guess, becoming a pastor and pastoring to all of you. And some of you were created to do other things. We live a good life when we can find a purpose in our life for our creation and living that life, fulfilling whatever purpose that God has in our lives. That is why today's passage, Ephesians 2:10, says this: for we are God's workmanship. That means we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The intention of God in creating you and I in his likeness is for us to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are not saved by our good works. It is not talking about that because we have done good things that God decided to save us. We were created for the good works. Some of us are mistaken to think that I am saved by my works. Because I am goody-two-shoe, I haven't done bad things, and I didn't do evil things, I didn't do any crime, therefore I am good enough to be saved. No. The Bible is very clear about our salvation. None of us were saved by the works. But because we were saved by the grace, we live our life for the works. I don't know if that makes sense. We are so busy just trying to look good and living a good life that we forget the calling that God has made in our lives. The big problem is this. Though we want to have this good life that God has intended for us to live, we really don't know our nature. Our nature is this: we were not created naturally good. We were created in the image of God, yet sin entered and we lost that image. Now we are sinners. The problem is that we have not been born with a nature that does good, but we have been born with a nature that is prone toward evil. We're born sinners. You may say, well, I wasn't born a sinner. I was born, you know, look at the little babies. They're not sinners. They're like angels. And we call little babies angels. They're not angels. I had a whole bunch of kids at home. They're not angels. They're selfish little beings. You know, how many of you had babies who care for the parents? They don't care if the parents are lack of sleep. They don't care if, you know, parents have to spend a lot of money on diapers. They don't say, I'm going to wait until number two comes so that I can, you know, hold the number two so that I can do number one and two together to save the diapers. No babies do that. They don't care about the parents' financial situation, depravity of sleep. They don't care. You say they're angels? No. They're selfish little beings. We were not born as saints. We're born with selfish inclination, with selfish nature. Our society says otherwise, that all are born good and circumstances and situations make us bad. With proper education and counseling and therapies, we're going to become good again. Well, look around. See what kind of world we're living in. There are ample proofs that we are not born good. The Bible says so. Paul says in Romans 3:12, there is no one who does good, not even one. No one righteous, not one. Romans 3:23 says this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, not few exceptions, but all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53 tells us that each one of us want to go our own way and do our own things. We're more concerned about that, doing our own thing, our selfish desire, than doing what is good and right. How do we know we're not born good? Well, not only the Bible says so, but history says so too. If you look at the history, we have a quite colorful history. Well, the history of humanity is more of a history of wars. There hasn't been you know, period of time, you know, there were like throughout the history of humanity, there were more years of fighting against each other than peaceful times. And they say if there's peace in the world, there's quietness in the world, that is a time that people are reloading their guns in order to fight again. We hear the news of war, we see hatred, greed, selfishness, cruelty. There's so much, you know, just racism and deceit, ugliness, hurt, pain, tearing each other apart. This is a testimony that we're basically no good people. We don't have goodness within us. If you're still not convinced, all you have to do is turn on TV and hear the news of what's going on. These days, I don't like to watch the news because there's no good news. It's always bad news. There's always something terrible going around somewhere around the world. And we hear the news coming from Afghanistan, and we hear we see the images that people are trying to get on the plane and falling off the plane and dying. Why? Well, why are people so cruel, and why are people so mean? And it is a nature of humanity that we're not good. There's no goodness in us, because sin entered in our lives, and we're prone to do more evil than good. We live among the generation that is most educated generation that has ever lived. We're living among the generation that is most sophisticated generation ever to live. We have incredible technology and advances that a man had had experienced, yet in spite of our education, in spite of our sophistication and the condition of our world, we are just talking more and more about good old days than the future that is to come. How many of us are excited about, oh, we're going to have a great future? No, we're just uncertain about the future, and we're fearful of what we're going to face. And so we talk about good old days. We now talk about pre-pandemic days as being the, wow, those are the great days. We could just walk around without the mask, and we could go to places. We talk about the good old days and the bright future that is to come. Why? Because we are not good people. As we live longer and longer in this world, we are becoming more sinful and more hating of each other. Even in our neighborhood, we hear more of an Asian hate these days, you know, just Black Lives Matter. Why are these statements coming out? Because we see the evil in human heart that is being portrayed here and there. Some people say education is a solution, and the governments are spending more and more money on education. If that was a solution, then the highly educated people should be more, I guess, enjoying the goodness of humanity, but it's not. It is a problem of our nature. As we examine our hearts, we cannot help but to see evil in us. I consider myself a pretty fair human being, and I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian, and I'm a pastor. I love God, and I'm going to go to heaven, and my sins have been forgiven. Yet, when I look at my private life, I cannot really say that I am proud of every day of my life. There are times that I would rather be unloving than loving. There are times that I struggle with being selfish rather than being free to give and to share with other people. There are times that I would rather blow up and be angry than to be kind and sympathetic and forgiving to the people in my life. Even when I want to do good things, there's still a struggle that is going on within me. There's a war being raged within me because my true nature is I'm a sinner. There's no goodness in me. It is a testimony that there is something fundamentally wrong with all of our natures, even when I want to do good. This is not only my struggle, but as we look at the spiritual giant in the Bible, we look at Paul. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. The very thing I want to do, I desire to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Don't you sympathize and empathize with Paul? You know, I want to do good, but then actually in reality, looking at my life, I don't really do those things, but I don't want to do those things, but I end up doing those things. I relate to Paul and his struggle. Now you may be thinking, well, okay, I'm not perfect. The problem with that thinking is that we're comparing ourselves to each other. As I'm comparing myself to Paul, and I'm saying, well, Paul felt that way, I feel pretty good, so I'm okay. Well, we're comparing ourselves to the standard that is declining instead of comparing ourselves to God's standard. So we have to set the standard right. If you begin to compare your life with someone who is lesser than you, who is worse than you, who is wicked than you, then you're going to feel good about yourself, and you're going to just, because your standard, you have lowered to that person's standard. You see, God doesn't grade us on a curve. He is not comparing you with other classmates and say, well, as long as you're better than other people, then you will pass the test. He doesn't say that. God judges us and compares us to the standard of Jesus Christ. Jesus is perfect. He is a perfect standard. He was without sin. And this is a standard that God expects us to hold to. Anything less than that shows that we are basically not good. Though we are not perfect, we're striving to that perfection by having Jesus as a standard. Also, how can you become a good Christian? How can you experience good life that God has intended for you and I to live by living according to the calling? Well, first, you need to accept God's goodness in your life. This is a starting point of experiencing and knowing that God's goodness and begin to live a good life. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. His salvation and his goodness comes to us because not because we deserve it, but it is a gift from God. So we shouldn't boast, well, I'm a great Christian. No, no one can boast it. No one can boast that my faith is great because it is a gift from God. It is a giver that you need to show off, not the gift that you got from him. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're given the opportunity to receive the gift of goodness through the Holy Spirit. One of the fruit of a spirit, the sixth fruit of a spirit is goodness. And God wants us to have this God's goodness within each one of us. And that happens when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when his spirit enters us, we begin to have new nature within us. You know, living in this world, it helps you to know people in high places. It's who you know is going to determine, your kind of perks and benefits. When I was living in California, in Los Angeles, Koreatown to be exact, I went to a bank, and the bank manager was one of our church members. And the teller didn't know who I was and wanted, you know, signature check and was doing all that. And then the manager, who happened to be our church member, came out and said, oh, Pastor Jim Bob, and then told the teller, you don't have to check his signature. I know him, so it's okay. So they didn't check it, and I realized, wow, this is what you call in Korean, baek. It helps you to have a good baek, you know, because there's someone watching over you and someone who recognizes you and knows you. You know, you are bypassing a lot of stuff that you have to kind of go through. And another case was I knew a sergeant in a police department. Because I knew the sergeant and our church did something with the police department, they gave me a huge medal. It was a heavy medal that says as a police department logo, and it was pretty heavy. And this is what I was told, Pastor, you're going to be driving in the streets of L.A. and sometimes you're going to get pulled over because of you violated something. In those times, show this badge. When you show this badge, most cops will let you go for free. And there's some mean cops who will not, but then most. And I realized, wow, it helps to know people in high places. Friends, we know God in high place, who is watching over us, who knows us by our name. And that is the greatest gift that God has given us, his goodness within each one of us, for us to go through this life. And just all we have to do is claim his name for us to really be blessed and be cared for. We are saved by his grace. So because we are saved by his grace, we live our life for his goodness. When we receive his gift, our nature is changed. No longer we live with the human nature, but we live by the nature of Holy Spirit, and we are being led. And for you to know what God desires, what the Creator's intention is all about, that's why we need to study the Bible. You know, well, once I accepted Jesus Christ and all that, that's all that matters, and I'm all taken care of, now I'm going to go to heaven. No, for us to live this life so that, you know, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, we say, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. What we're asking is, God, may that heavenly life begin right here on earth as well. Not only when we kick the bucket and go to heaven and we're going to be, oh, this is heavenly kingdom. No, that life with God begins right here on earth. And in order to do so, you need to know what the intention of the Creator is through the Bible. And this is the manual book to know what God desires for you and I to know in order to go through this life. That's why 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. We need to live our life doing the good work of God. You see, we're talking about right now living a missional life, going beyond the walls of church and going into the world. What are you going to take? Do people really know that you are Christian? How do they know you're Christian? Because you're telling them that you're Christian? Well, the Bible says you don't have to tell them that you are a child of God. The Bible says through your works, people will know that you are my disciple. People do not change easily. You know, when people change when they're impressed. When they're impressed, their hearts open up. Their wallets open up. Isn't it true? You know, when you're dating, your date impresses you. That's why you pay for dinner. If it's not impressive, you don't like to pay for dinner. It is when you make an impression, your heart moves and your wallet opens. Likewise, God wants his children to do good works in the world so that people will know that you are disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, that people will know that you are disciples of Jesus Christ by your good works. These days, it's hard to tell who's Christian, who's not. And you begin by learning what God says through the Bible. And we need to develop convictions. These days, we don't have too many convictions, do we? What is it that you stand for? Someone said this, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. Especially in America today, the number one virtue that we are taught in our society is tolerance. Tolerance. To have an open mind, to be open to all kinds of lifestyle, all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of morals. That's the way to be, so that you will embrace everything and all things. We don't have to discern whether this is right or wrong in the eyes of God. Just be tolerant. People are so open-minded that their brains have fallen out in America. We have tossed aside all discretions and intelligence as we look at life and making choices because we want so much to be open-minded and to be accepted that the discernment and wisdom has gone out the door. We need to learn to have conviction in our lives if we're going to be good people. We are going to live and do good things as God intended for you and I to do. Do you know the difference between opinion and conviction? Opinion is something that you hold on to. Conviction is something that holds on to you. It controls your life. Opinion is something that you will argue about. But a conviction is something that you will suffer and die for. Seems like we don't have conviction these days. We just have opinions. What are you willing to die for? What are you willing to risk your life for? Jesus had a conviction. He had conviction to save lives, save humanity. That conviction drove him to the cross, and he was willing to die on the cross. Goodness demands guts in our society today. It takes a lot of guts to stand against what is wrong and what is immoral in our society today, to stand up against injustice, abuse, corruption, and immorality, not to be politically correct, but to be biblically correct. It takes conviction to live such life. These days, I was told when I was in California, pastor, you shouldn't have such a strong stand in certain issues, otherwise you're going to lose your pastor's license. I'd rather lose my license than to lose my conviction. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women of God to do nothing, to have no conviction. If you are a good man or good woman of God and you do nothing and permit evil to triumph in our society today, we have no hope. Jesus lived his life with conviction, and that conviction drove him to the cross. Living a good life that God has intended is not easy, because Jesus lived a good life, and that good life drove him to be mocked, to be persecuted, to be singled out, and to be flogged, and to be put on the cross. However, this was a life that saved the humanity. The world that we're living in is getting dark, and it's getting darker as time goes on. Henry Blackaby said this, paraphrasing. He's the one who wrote Experiencing God. He said, the world is getting dark because the world is doing its job. It is supposed to be getting, it's supposed to get dark because it's world. But the problem of the world is not about darkness, but it's the problem of light. That we are not living a life of being the light of a world, that the world is getting darker. These days, it's really hard to tell who is a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of us just going to the church on Sunday, that's good enough for me to say I'm a Christian. That's not Christian life. That is Sunday churchgoer life. Christian life is all about being good in wherever we are, with the conviction that God is our standard and he's our principle, and he's the one who really causes us to really be an influence in the world. I'm not talking about you going out and fighting, picking fight with the people who are different from you. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus overcame evil with good. And the Bible says clearly that we are fight the evil, and we are fight to fight the evil, not evil with evil, but evil with good. When someone attacks you because you are good, you don't fight back with violence, but you fight back with love. When I was my previous church, it was a really difficult church, and there was a church struggle. And on Sundays, you know, some people kind of didn't want us to have a worship service, so they were taking my Bible away, and they were pulling out the mic and moving the pulpit, all these things. And I was sitting on the pulpit area on the chair, and someone runs up, you know, and I heard that he used to be an ex-gangster in Korea, and he started cursing at me. And how I pray to God, God, may I not respond back to him as he's cursing at me. May I respond back to him with joy and with goodness. God, give me wisdom. And he called me name after names and cussing at me. And in Korean, when you put at the end, 새끼, it's a bad word. I'm 목사. And he called me, 네가 목사 새끼냐. And then I said, oh, he's calling me. He's even attacking the office of pastor, you know, this pastorate. How can I respond? And I said, oh, 집사님, you're so right. I am a child of moksa. My father is a moksa. So you're right. I am moksa sekki. And he just didn't know what to say. He looked at me as if I'm crazy. And he just walked down the, you know, he ran away. Later, he testified to other people that he was truly impressed by my answer, that he was expecting me to cuss him back. But when I just, you're right, I'm bad, I'm a sinner. He just didn't know what to do. Friends, we are being sent into the world with goodness of God. We need to have conviction in our heart that I'm going to be good child of God no matter what circumstances and what situations I may be put in. That's how you overcome evil with good, because we serve good God. Our brother Ken Lee, the praise leader, you know, he doesn't do that anymore because I guess it sounds a little bit childish. You know, he used to say, God is good. And then we say what? All the time. All the time? God is good. We serve good God. And we ought to be good too, because we want to resemble our Heavenly Father. God says, be holy for I am holy. And he is saying again, be good, because I'm a good God. That way you can truly bring glory to my name as you are going into the world, and there's so much evil and so much wickedness and so much bad news in there that I am sending you into the world as my child. Your human nature may be evil, but I have given you the Holy Spirit for you to be empowered and to make a difference wherever you go. May that be a message and conviction in your life, that wherever you are, that you will become child of God, good God. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for being our God, good God. As you have created each one of us in your image, in your likeness, as we call you our good God, we also want to be good children. Lord, may this goodness be within each one of us as we are sent into the world. Even in times that we are going to lose out, even in times that we are going to be persecuted, even if the situation causes us to lose whatever we have, may we choose to live a good life for our good God with conviction, went to the cross in order to show your goodness to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.